Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read the first 14 verses today. Acts chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexandria, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, or by what name, have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined for good, the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all that to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the men which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today into your presence. We ask that you will send your Spirit, that he will be present with us. Every believer has the Spirit, has your Spirit. He is indwelling us, each one. But Father, we ask that you give us a special blessing and direction as we've gathered together to study your word and to hear and to learn more about you and be able to walk closer to you. And Father, please, as there are folks here that do not know you as their Savior, that today would be the day that they would say yes and not slip off into eternity without you. And again, as we fellowshipped and talked in Sunday school class, the result of leaving this world without a personal relationship with your Son Jesus is a choice that is an awful choice. It'll be forever with the pain and the burning and the suffering that they have to face. And it's all because they come by works or religion or some other means and not come by way of the cross to trust in you and walk with you, Lord Jesus. Please, guide and lead us now today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This fourth chapter in Acts is some of the first persecution that has been witnessed here in the book of Acts over the preaching of the Word of God. And we know that there were two messages preached by Peter, one in the second chapter and one in the third chapter, concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and life in the Lord Jesus. And all this was presented and continually presented, and Peter made it very well known that you crucified the just one. You have put to death the just one, but God hath raised him from the dead. And so we have, as we look at the group here that is responsible for this tribulation, or responsible for the trying to stop the preaching of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, we find it to be the religious folks. It's not Rome. Rome doesn't care. You would think that as Rome would look on there, why they wouldn't, that they would object to this, but they didn't. It was the religious people. And you'll find it today that it's the same way. It's the religious people of our day that condemns and criticizes the preaching of the gospel. Now, most of those folks, almost all those folks are lost. They do not know the Lord Jesus. Here we have the priests. They spake unto the people, and as they spake unto the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came unto them. Now, when we look at the this listing, and let me give you just a little bit of a summary of the Sadducees. You know, we've always kind of put a little definition, a little explanation into the word Sadducees. They're sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. And so that's easy for us to remember. But let's take a little stronger look. The Sadducees deny the existence of spirits and angels. They deny all miracles. They deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus. They are called in this day the religious rationalists. They had very strong representation in both the Sanhedrin and the priesthood. The priesthood, basically, they held by tradition. And they also denied the supernatural, and they compromised with the Romans. They wanted to get along with the Romans. They didn't want anything to upset what was going on between them and Rome. They were the first PC group, and they wanted to be everything just right. They didn't want to cause any friction, and everything is okay. But it was a sad group, and they were active part of the Sanhedrin, and as we're going to find a little later as we go into it, they were part that was responsible, the same group that they're going to meet here in the next few verses of Scripture, was part of the same group that stood before the Lord Jesus and said, crucify him, because he was a blasphemer and stood against God instead of being the Savior of the world. This same group here, these religious folks, and you know, the only criticism that we've ever had here as a body of believers has come from the religious folks, and they will tell us that you can't say this or you can't do that. Well, we do and we will, and we don't pay any attention to the religious fanatics of the world. We're here to preach the gospel and to reach the gospel to a lost and dying world. Peter had just been preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the Sadducees didn't like it, but the people did. And that's where the problem began. Because if it had just been that they didn't like it, well, the people aren't paying any attention, so they'll go their way. It'll be short-lived. It's not going to last. But the problem is that the people loved hearing this great news of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And as we see in verse 4 there, we have a gathering of 5,000 souls have already been saved. We don't know for sure how long this is after Pentecost. It's not long, and we have 5,000 that have been saved, and they believe that probably it's not an additional 5,000. Many believe that this 5,000 is a gathering of numbers, and that's going to be the last time that you'll see a number of souls listed. We won't see that ever again, because God's the one that's accounting for the numbers and how many are saved or born again. And so, but this the Sanhedrin had trouble with, the worst was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and also then the following, the great following. The people were listening, and they couldn't have that. And I'm going to take us back to John, because it doesn't just start here, because it starts back with the Lord Jesus as far as these Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and their hatred for them. And it makes mention here, I made mention concerning the relationship that they had with Rome, and back in John kind of helps us with that. We have a lot of verses of Scripture to read, and I tried to sum it up another way, but I'm going to just read it because it's such a beautiful story and a beautiful message, and we're just going to take time to read God's Word. We're going to start in the 11th chapter, John chapter 11, and it's about a man named Lazarus. And it connects with the problem because we're going to read just a few. We're going to read 48 verses in the 11th chapter of John. And then we're going to go and we're going to read 11 verses in the 12th chapter. It's all about this man named Lazarus and how it upset the Sanhedrin of the day when this was going on as well. So John chapter 11, and just please listen, follow along if you can. Beautiful story. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. This is John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things he saith, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he's sleeping, he shall do well. You know, that's when somebody's sick, you want them to sleep, because when they sleep, then they'll get to feeling better. And so that's what was stated here. Keep understanding that the disciples could not quite put a handle on the power of Jesus. They just, even though they'd walked with him and stood, they just couldn't understand it. So they were trying to make something logical out of this thing. They decided, Lord, if he's sleeping, then he's going to be okay. But Jesus said in verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then Thomas, in all his wisdom, he says, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. And that, you know, we think of Peter being the dramatic one, you know, but Thomas, he was, you know, he knew the risk, and the risk of going into that region, that area, was so strong that they were going to put Jesus to death. They knew they were going to kill him. And so he said, fine, we'll go along. We'll die too. And when Jesus came, verse 17, and found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection the last day. She believed in the resurrection. She didn't believe that God was powerful enough that she was going to raise her brother right here and now. And see, back here, if she knew that he had power over life and death, if you had been here, they had witnessed healings, and they knew that if Jesus would have been there at the time, Lazarus wouldn't have died. They just know that. He just wouldn't have died. Now that he's dead, that's it, Lord. And if you'd have been here, but now it's too late. Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha immediately said, I know, I believe in the resurrection. I know that he'll be raised from the dead. Well, Jesus was speaking of right here and now. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What wonderful words. And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. And then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. We've heard that before, haven't we? And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. We find the shortest verse of scripture in the word here. But what words? Jesus' love for Lazarus. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which openeth the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? You see, they just keep going. They could keep him alive, but they don't believe he can raise him from the dead. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, verse 38, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said not I unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, that thou shouldst see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him, let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. Then gathered, here's the reason I read the other 46 verses. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation. They were concerned more about Rome than they were about listening to the Son of God and being saved, being born again. Now, over to John chapter 12, we're just going to read 11 verses because this continues here with this man named Lazarus. And I want you to see how much that the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees hate the Lord Jesus and even hate this man Lazarus. Now in verse 1 of chapter 12, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly ointment, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Yeah, you see, he didn't know the Lord Jesus. Everything should be given to our Savior. And he didn't give anything about the poor. It was just that he controlled that money. And you see, if you're not born again, money is your God, and that was his God. And so then we come to verse 5. Why was not this sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This said he, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what he put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always have we with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They hated that witness. Too many people recognized that Jesus had risen this man from the dead. There was a multitude, and so there was a problem. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. We've got to stop this. We've got to stop this. And that was the condition that the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, the chief captain, the priests, they were all in cahoots together to put this thing to an end. And so as we look now back to Acts chapter 4, and we begin once again, verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them. You see, they have had a hatred for them for some time, and they came unto them. And when we see this coming unto them, it means that they were to pursue them and to capture them, and it was by force. Something's got to be done about these folks. You know, the preaching of this resurrection has got to end. And Peter and John and the others, they just keep speaking this news. And there is multitude of miracles that have been performed by these men and by the Lord Jesus. And so now something has got to happen. We have got to stop this. These miracles must be stopped before all the people will follow. These people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and these Sadducees, they were pretty important people. People listened to him, paid attention to him. And they came with great force. When it says came upon, as the scripture tells us here in the end of verse 1, it was rushed upon them, suddenness and violent manner. And then being verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That word grieved, they were in great anger. Great anger, indignation is another word that was used there. And so they came upon them with force. They weren't polite or kind. They had it with these two. This Peter could not shut his mouth about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the others as well. And so they came and they captured Peter and John, and they put their hands upon them. Now, there's some suggestion that they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day. There's some questions whether they were actually put in jail or whether they were just put under a guard's control, because at this time they did both. And so we have here the anger. They were mad. They were angry because these men were undermining their doctrine. They were teaching there was no resurrection. They were teaching there was no miracles. and there were a multitude of miracles, and here is the resurrection of this man, Lazarus. And we have, and of course, another is a problem because we have back in the third chapter this the healing of this impotent man, the lame man. That's a problem. We are having too much going on here, and the people are paying attention. Why couldn't they open their eyes and see that this is God? This is the Savior of the world. Instead of that, they set out to put it to a stop. And you see today, it's the same way. The people are blind that are standing against Christ and against the church. And they want the church shut down. They don't want the miracle of the new birth because they don't desire to have a person born again. They don't want a person led by God, directed by God. They don't want a person to have the life and the joy. Just today on the news, it's unbelievable. A person attends church, and they even use the statement, those that are born again have more peace and joy than any person in the world. That made the national news. And one of you couldn't have told them the same thing. But it's the truth. And why would someone not desire that an impotent man be healed? Why wouldn't that be such a tremendous, exciting, as we read, that's the reason I wanted to read in the 12th chapter of John, because I want you to see that they not only come to see Jesus, they come to see Lazarus, the one that had been raised from the dead. And the people wanted to see him, the people wanted to meet him, the people wanted to talk to him, but the Sadducees and folks that are part of the Sanhedrin, they wanted, we're going to have to kill Lazarus too. Put him to death. This was the religious folks. Put him to death. We got to kill him because he is causing too much trouble. Well, don't think that day won't come for us. Because the world hates the church. You want to know why that the Muslim religion just continues to grow and has all kinds of freedom? And the church, the true church, the Christians are being criticized, condemned, and ridiculed. It's because that same devil that was driving these people is the same devil that's driving the folks today. They hate us. They hate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, even though he is the only one that can give them life. And yet they hate him. They hate him. They were angry. They refused to accept the fact. They refused to accept the resurrection. They refused to accept the miracles and that came from God. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were willingly ignorant. They're spiritually blinded. They openly and clearly deny the truth. They rejected all the evidence that was there. Over 500 saw Jesus after the resurrection at once. Multitudes witnessed the life and the resurrection of Lazarus. And there were so many miraculous healings that couldn't be numbered. And yet the world continued to say no and look the other direction. They had to put it to a stop. The Sadducees, you see, they are kind of the custodians, you might say, of the Word of God. They didn't do their job, did they? They were the keepers. And they were grieved, the Scripture said, offended, because these two unlearned, ignorant Galileans taught the people. And the people were listening. You see, it's kind of like me. I'm not authorized by some denomination or some group that I can preach the Word of God. And many folks do not recognize that. We've had folks come and they leave and said, you know, he can preach. Because, you see, I haven't been authorized. Well, God has called me, authorized me, and ordained me to preach the Word of God. That's the authority we need. We don't need man or a college or a school to do it. It must be God's calling. It must be God's calling. These men, the Sadducees, didn't recognize the calling of God, and they knew that no one had given them permission to preach the Word of God. So they have no right to teach or to preach the Word of God. And especially where they were preaching it, and that was in Solomon's porch. The Sadducees, the priests, the captains of the temple, they had not given their authority to these unlearned, ignorant people. So according to that, we're going to stop them. We're going to stop them. Now, we laid hands on them and put them in the hold until the next day, for it was eventide. Now, we're going to probably have to end with that third verse, but as we look at this verse, you ever stop and think why they thought this was going to make a difference? What happened when Jesus was crucified? What happened when they arrested him? Those disciples went every direction. And the couple of them that stuck around, and the one we know about, was Peter. And what did Peter do when he got put under pressure? I don't know him. I've never seen him. I'm not a follower of him. And he even blasphemed his name. He even cursed. You see, they were hoping the same thing. They were hoping when we put a little bit of pressure on these, it'll shut them up and they'll go home. Well, I've already, that's the reason I wanted to read down through verse 14, because I wanted to let you know that didn't happen. That didn't happen. The persecution just brought them to life. What bothered the Sadducees especially was the resurrection. Boy, they didn't like that. And they didn't believe in miracles. And they had all this proof of all the miracles that had been performed. Let's put a hold on them. Put a little pressure on them. And I'm sure we're going to get these to break. And they'll stop this nonsense. They'll quit. That's what they're going to do. Now, you're going to have to come back next week to find out whether they did. I guess I kind of told you already, but you better come back for proof to see whether they are just going to quit or whether they're going to keep preaching the gospel. And so that's the religious bunch. And then you got them renegades at Peter and John and the rest of the apostles. They're out there giving out the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful day to preach the Word of God. I knew when we went back to John that we'd be spending a lot of time there, but that's such a beautiful story of Lazarus and how he was raised from the dead, and then how that the people came to see, the people believed, but the religious folks that should have been the leaders, they were the ones that tried to put it to an end, tried to stop it, and that has not changed today. Has not changed today. It's a relationship that we have with Jesus. That's what's important. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come into your house and fellowship over your precious word. Please, that you just guide and lead us, Father. And many of us, I was one that was taught by the religious bunch. They taught a social gospel. Never to hear the true gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I thank you and praise you that you sent it from such a strange direction in a strange way. But it didn't matter because it was your precious word. And it touched my heart. And I accepted you as my Savior and born again. Father, thank you for that great and wonderful day. And all these days and all these years now. And to know that for 40 years I have been a child of God and still growing, still learning, still enjoying your word more than ever. Continue, Father, the feeding to all of us. But Father, unless we're saved, unless we've come by faith to your Son, the Lord Jesus, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're going to hell. So please, dear Lord, today, when we have this hymn of invitation, just bring them, Father, and publicly saying, I want to trust in Jesus. Please. Don't listen to the religious bunch. Listen to Jesus as the Spirit draws you. Please, Father, speak to hearts today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.